Mates, good morning. So I want to share with you a message that I think I'll preach every week if I could, but unfortunately I need to give a balanced diet for everybody. So I preach on different things, but this is my ultimate passion until I get to the next ultimate passion. But I've got a few passions. And so I want to just take you, it's amazing, there's a theme in the scriptures. I actually had a chat with someone a few weeks ago, a pastor, and he was like, doesn't like the word presence, you know? And I'm like, dude, go to the Bible. There's like 150 scriptures with the word presence. It is the theme in scripture from Genesis chapter 2 all the way to Revelation at the end. It is about the presence of God. It's about a loving father that wants to be with his kids. That's the theme. From Adam and Eve, there from the very start, God the Father wanted to be with his kids. So he would walk with them, have, you know, interact with his children. He's a loving dad. We serve a loving dad. He wants to be with us. And everything flows from his presence. I see this over and over again. Everything flows from his presence. Let's say that. Everything flows from his presence. It does. Churchianity is very boring and very tiring when God isn't present. When he is present, it's awesome. It's like this worship this morning. It's like, whoa, time went by. It was amazing. We want more. We want more of you, God. But it's something about his presence. And since Genesis chapter 3, where things went wrong, God the Father has been pursuing us, his children. He's been pursuing us to be with us. And this terrible thing happened in Genesis chapter 3. There was an abduction that took place. An abduction. So God was with Adam and Eve, and they had this wonderful relationship in the garden. You know, there was no sin, there was no evil, they were naked. Come on, sounds like paradise. Well, wonderful. And then they were tempted, and they disobeyed God. And the result of that is that they were abducted by evil. Imagine a dad, any dad here in the house, you've got few kids, you love them to bits, and suddenly one day an evil person comes and abducts them, and you can't be with them anymore. Would that freak you out? That would freak me out, because I want to be with my boy. I want to be with my son. You know, for those who know, we have a boy, Vian. He's 6, almost 7. And so we were driving in the car this morning to church and the worship music, and I was just singing along, and then he starts singing there at the back. I think this is so amazing. As for the privilege for us to create an environment where my boy can learn to love the presence of God. But imagine that an abductor comes, abducts the kids, and then something even worse happens. It's not just that dad can't be with his kids. It's like this poison has been spread through their system. That if dad is present in his fullness, it will actually kill his children. They would literally die because dad is present, because of the poison in the system. Ever thought about that? Sin. Sin is that poison. And we see it all through scripture where God, there's this theme where God wants to be with his children. And then he plans all these things to be with them. Then he raises up a man or a person who loves the presence of God like Moses. He raises up Moses. And Moses on the mountain, Moses in the glory of God. And then God says, I can't take this anymore. I'm going to kill everybody. They're freaking me out. I mean, I have a million complaining people around you. I think I'll also want to kill them. Just 2 gets me down. So, a million of them. So God is saying, Moses, you're on your own. There you go. I'm sending an angel with you. Take the promised land. But Moses fell in love with the presence of God. So Moses was like, God, if your presence doesn't go with us, We don't want to go. Then we have someone like Joshua, where it speaks about where Moses was at the tabernacle, because God would then, he would raise up someone and then he'd give them plans to build a tabernacle, a sanctuary, so that God can come and dwell in a way without killing everybody. So he would create an environment, a safe space. He would be in the most holy place. No one else could get into the most holy place because you could die there. And so God would create this environment where his glory would come and rest. And then we read of Joshua. It says, and Moses left the tabernacle, but Joshua left. Joshua stayed there. He stayed in the presence. You want to be close to God. And so we see this over and over again. God would raise up someone with a love for him, with a love for his presence. And then he'd say, here's the blueprint. Here's the blueprint. Create an environment where I can come and dwell. And I believe that's what God is doing. I believe that's what God is stirring in my heart. I believe this part of my life call is just to create an environment where God can come and dwell, where his presence can come and change lives. And then we go a little bit further on and we find David and we see the Psalms, all the Psalms speaking about David loving the presence of God and then building a tabernacle and bringing back the Ark of the Covenant, bringing back the glory, bringing back the presence. So it's all over the Psalms. I want to read the first verse there for you. Psalm 26 verse 8. Listen to this. It says, I love your sanctuary, Lord, the place where your glorious presence dwells. I love your sanctuary. I don't love a building because it's a building, it's a fancy building or a golden building. I love the sanctuary, God, because you are there. The place where your glorious presence dwells. It's amazing. You see, but if you haven't tasted, if you haven't experienced it, you won't understand. But the presence, I mean, even in later in the Psalms when David sinned, he said, God, don't take your spirit from me. God, don't take your spirit away from me. And it's so amazing just this past week or two. I'm just sensing an increase in the presence of God on me. It's like I'm being clothed in the presence of God. I know it sounds weird for some of us. But that's actually what God wants to do. He wants to break you. You are a house for him. I'm going to end off there. But let's just say, I'm a house for God. He's preparing this house for his presence. Nothing comes close to this. I promise you, you can think of the most amazing moment, exhilarating moment in your life. Quickly think, your whole life. The most exhilarating moment you've ever experienced doesn't compare to one moment in his presence. It doesn't. But see, many of us live in a way that we're not living in the most holy place. You see, the temples that God, the blueprint that God gave Moses was, there's an outer court, there's a holy place, and then the most holy place where the Ark of the Covenant was. And the glory of God would tangibly rest there. Now in Solomon's temple, later, the same sort of structure, you had the outer courts, then you had the holy place and the most holy place. And it says that from the holy place, you could just see the poles stick out of the tabernacle, of the Ark of the Covenant. You could just see the poles, but you couldn't see the glory. So many Christians are living either in the outer court, or maybe they go all the way into the holy place, but they've not gone into the most holy place. And about a year ago, end of last year, the Lord spoke to me and he said to me, pursue revival, 5 years, give me the next 5 years of your life. Become a most holy place. You're holy, it's fine, but become a most holy place. Become a man, become a person where my presence can dwell. It's phenomenal. The change just in my life over this last year, I must say, two World Cups were a bit of a challenge to get through them. But otherwise, I'm cutting out stuff that anybody would say, hey, it's not sin. I don't want it anymore. I want him. I want His presence. I want Him. It's what, it is beyond anything in this life. But where are you at? Are you on the outer courts? Or even beyond? You don't even believe in this thing, this Jesus thing. Where are you? Outer courts, holy place, most holy place. And that's the purpose of the fast, the 21 days Daniel fast in January. It's about becoming most holy places. But God, make this church a most holy place. Make our hearts and minds a most holy place. That Your presence may come and dwell beyond anything we've ever imagined, ever seen. That's His heart. Just look at the next verse, Psalm 27. The heart of David, the heart of a man after God's own heart. A man that was pursuing the presence of God. And he said, one thing I've desired of the Lord. Let's say it, one thing. One thing. One thing I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek. I will seek it. This is my ultimate passion. This is what I'm pursuing. Your presence, God. I desire that my whole being, this temple, this house, everything about me, will be prepared for Your glory. That You will be drawn to me. That You want to be with me. That You can be with me without killing me. Because I want more. You see, God needs to, in a sense, hold back. He needs to hold back because He knows if His fullness comes, we'll have an Ananias and Sapphira. People in the tangible presence of God were blatantly lying and deceiving. They die in the presence of God. So we need to prepare our hearts, our lives. We need to line up our lives with God's holiness and purity so that when His glory comes, it's just going to be good. So it says, I've desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life to behold the beauty of the Lord. Like we sang this morning, you're beautiful. You're beautiful. You can't see it, but you can feel Him. If you close your eyes, you can feel Him. You can feel, you can see with your spirit senses. God, You're beautiful, and the love, the presence, Your presence that I'm experiencing right now is just beyond any human, anything we can experience on this earth. And to inquire in His temple. So David would often, he would ask God, God, should we attack them? Should we do it? Are You going to do it? Yes. So he would ask God, God, what should we do? How should we tackle this thing? Inquire, God, but I want You. Let's say it, I want You. God, I want Your presence. And if I look at my own journey since the age of 18, it has been this battle for purity, this battle for holiness. Because I know when I fall back into sin and a sinful lifestyle, it's like His presence fades. And that's been the mission. All these years, just this one mission. God, purify. Increase my faith. Give me revelation of how much You love me. Purify. Because I want more of You. Because I want to release Your glory over others. And so when we were in Argentina now in April, it was just amazing. I mean, we would pray for some people, like for hours and hours and hours. I would not be tired. I'm like just standing under a waterfall of the Spirit. Woo! This is amazing. Healed in Jesus' name. Saved in Jesus' name. God is saying this to you. Boom and boom and boom, boom. And healed and saved and set free. And God encounter upon God encounter. All I'm doing is, Jesus, I'm enjoying You. I'm just loving You. I'm just enjoying You, God. Let's let Your life flow through me. You see, believers are just conduits of the presence of God. It's just a river of life flowing through us. But then we need faith. And then we need to be pure. We need to transition our lives to that place where there are no obstacles, just the glory of God that can flow through us. That's what God wants. And I tell you, it's the most amazing, it's the most incredible experience. And I mean, every missions we do, it seems like it goes next level. And it was amazing to experience that tangible presence of God like I have never experienced. It's absolutely addictive. And it can, if you think it's you, you can become proud. But God is faithful. Keeps you humble. like get your passport stolen. Because at the end of the week in Argentina, the pastor was telling me, you are Superman. I tell them, brother, I'm not Superman. I am nothing without the presence of God. But on that Saturday when we were leaving, 20 minutes before we left, my bag got stolen, my passport got stolen, everything got stolen. And I was running around like a crazy person there on the airport. Ah, it's gone. So the team left. One stayed behind. The rest of the team left. And that evening, I was oppressed by evil. It was the weirdest experience I've ever experienced. That evening, around 11 o'clock that Saturday night, I was at the pastor's, back at the pastor's house, and I heard the voice of the devil saying, now I'm going to torment you. And so that night, from 11 o'clock to 3 o'clock, I didn't sleep for about 50 hours, but from that time, 11 to 3 o'clock at night, I was worried. I mean, I'm left behind. But I'm worshiping, I am praising God for hours. Then I'm dancing before the Lord. Nothing's working. All the stuff I normally do, I'm like, and I feel like this evil in the place. It was really horrific. And then around 3 o'clock, then I don't think I've shared this in church, but around 3 o'clock that morning, I was lying under the bed, I was praying and worshiping. I closed my eyes and I felt then the presence of God flooding into the room. And the Lord took me to scriptures in Genesis where it says, and Jacob was left alone. My second name is Jacob, Jacobus. So I was left behind, I was left alone. And then it says, and he wrestled with God until daybreak. And so I was now wrestling with God until daybreak. But around 3 o'clock, 3:30 that night, eyes was closed. I felt the presence of God coming. And then suddenly in the spirit, I saw like a wall that opened up. But it was a wall full of glass, felt like sparkly. And there was a rainbow over it. And this wall opened up. And the next moment, I saw the throne room of God. And I saw the throne of God. And I saw God on the throne. And I felt God saying, come. Now ask me to bless you. Ask me for South America. Ask me for more of me. Ask me for my will. And I asked. It was amazing to experience that. And I later read the scriptures in the book of Revelation. It speaks about the sea of glass, which is at the throne room of God, and the rainbow. Exactly the things that I saw in this vision. But I just knew, I just saw the heart of God saying, now ask me. And I will bless you. But there's this pursuit. God, I want to be in your presence. I want to experience you more than anything else on this earth. So where are you at? What's your holiday plan? I'm on a mission. I'm not on a holiday plan. I am on a mission for more of God. What's your plan? You're going to veg. You're going to defile yourself with rubbish. You're going to, you know, feel horrible. Or are you going to have a plan to spend time with Jesus and go to church and read the Word and tell someone about Jesus? That's what He wants. The presence. Everything flows from His presence. So David wanted to bring back the glory of God. In 2 Samuel 6, verse 2, the Ark of the Covenant, he wanted to bring the Ark of God to Jerusalem. It says in verse 2 there, and David arose and went with all the people who were with him from Baal, Judah, to bring up from there the Ark of God, whose name is called by the name the Lord of Hosts, the God of the armies of heaven, who dwells between the cherubim. You see, on this Ark of the Covenant, there were two angels, cherubim, and the manifest presence of God was there. So they set the Ark of God on a new cart. That was a mistake. And brought it out of the house of Abinadab. And Uzzah and Ahio, the sons of Abinadab, drove the new cart. So they put this on this cart. The oxen drove it. And when they came to this guy's threshing floor, Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. So the oxen stumbled. The ark was wanting to possibly fall off. So Uzzah put out his hand to the ark of God and took hold of it. So he, in a sense, took hold of the tangible presence of God, but as an unsanctified, unholy man. And then the anger of the Lord was aroused against Uzzah, and God struck him there for his error. And he died there by the ark of God. He died. And then the next verse, verse 9, it says, "And David was afraid of the Lord that day, and he said, how can the ark of the Lord come to me?" So fascinating story. It's like this man who has a desire for the presence of God. He wants God to be with him. And he does everything, gets everybody together. They make a hasty plan and they bring the ark. They bring the presence of God, and then stumbled, touched it. Someone died and David was torn in two. It's like, I want him, but I could die. You know, I want more of him, but I know the implications. If I'm unsanctified, unholy, unwashed, but I want him. Do you see the, as I shared earlier, about this dad that wants to be with his children, but his presence could kill them. And this is the theme in Scripture, God preparing a way so that his manifest presence can be with us. And so David, torn in two, not knowing what to do. You see that cart and the oxen represents our own strength. I'm going to do it in my own ability. I'm going to bring back the presence of God. I'm going to bring back the glory. I'm going to do kingdom in my strength. God wants it to be by his strength and by his way. So a few benefits of the presence of God. I just want to read a few scriptures. Psalm 16:11. "You will show me the path of life. In your presence is fullness of joy." Let's say it. In your presence is fullness of joy. At your right hand are pleasures forevermore. So it's in the presence of God that we experience a joy like nothing else. Psalm 17:2. "Let my vindication come from your presence. Let your eyes look on the things that are upright." So David is praying and saying, God, we're in the midst of my enemies and everybody's coming against me, all the things that are happening, let my vindication be by your presence. God, just by you being with me, that's all I need. Because everything flows from his presence. Amen. Psalm 21:6. "For you made him most blessed forever." This is the king. "You've made him exceedingly glad with your presence." So David was about the presence of God. Psalm 31:20. "You shall hide them in the secret place of your presence from the plots of man. You shall keep them secretly in a pavilion from the strife of tongues." So you shall hide me in your presence. So there can be a storm around you. There can be a massive storm of chaos around you. But because you're in his presence, you have peace. You're not even feeling this war because you are in him. What do you do when you feel down? What do you do when you feel as if you don't have faith? What do you do when you feel as if you're in bad space? What's your response? Soapy. Facebook. What do you go to? I experience this every now and again. I feel like, I'm not in a good space. Then I to the presence. Find a spot, chair, bed, walk, music. God, I draw near to you. Then the presence of God comes, and suddenly your whole outlook on life changes because the doors open and the Lord speaks. There's something that happens when you are in his presence. Like suddenly, it happens to me over and over again. Someone told me the other day, said like, how do you do it? How do you keep being so positive? Because I get into his presence. And when I'm in his presence, when I'm in his glory, all that I see is glory. So you and I can be in the same situation. I'm seeing something different because I'm seeing from the glory of God. I'm seeing from his presence. I'm seeing opportunities. I'm seeing potential. I'm seeing the hand of God. But when you are in darkness, everything looks miserable. Who's experienced that? Yes. When you're in darkness, when you're in that space, everything, it just, it feels, it doesn't feel good. It doesn't look good. But when you are in His presence, when you become aware of Him and He fills you, everything looks different. Changes the way you look at life, changes the way you think. You have faith, and things begin to happen. Another one there, Psalm 9 verse 3, when my enemies turn back, they shall fall and perish at your presence. So literally the presence of God, when God is present, all things become possible. Let's say it. When God is present, all things become possible. That's true. Psalm 68 verse 8. I was exposed to this scripture in 1997. It was 1998. We went on a missions trip to Turkey. It says, the earth shook. The heavens also dropped rain at the presence of God. Sinai itself was moved at the presence of God, the God of Israel. Before we went to Turkey, small team, like four of us. Three of us plus Jesus. Four. Before the time, I was a third-year student. I was still very young in the Lord, and I just heard the Lord said, go to Turkey. So we're going to Turkey. And before the time, I received this scripture about the presence of God, and at the presence of God, the earth shook. And at the presence of God, it rained. And I got another few scriptures that spoke about rain. And then as we flew into Turkey, about 2 hours before we landed, there was huge earthquakes all across Turkey. I felt like we have arrived. And so over the next few days, it was like 40 degrees. It was not a cloud in the sky. It was like really, really hot. It hasn't rained for months. And then I felt the Lord say, pray for rain. So it was a Saturday evening on the eighth story of this building. And I was... felt the clear rains, stood outside on the balcony. I raised my hands and there was just nice stars in the sky, no clouds. And I just declared, Lord, let it rain. As to confirm your promise to the nation of Turkey that you're going to move in this nation. And then I asked the Lord, okay, God, when is it going to rain? I felt the Lord say 24 hours. 24 hours it flooded. It was on national news. It flooded. Then it was my prayers. Maybe it was just by chance. But man, it felt good. I remember we were traveling around and we were somewhere and we were just praying. I just went and sat outside. I just sat on this chair with the rain dripping on my face. I was like, God, you're huge. You're the God that can make it rain. You're the God that can turn nations. You're the God that can shake cities. I mean, James chapter 5 speaks of Elijah. Says Elijah's a man like us. Say, like us. And then it says, then he prayed that it wouldn't rain for 3.5 years, and it didn't rain. And then he prayed again, and it rained. We, in Jesus' name, have authority over the natural realm. I shared on Wednesday night, but on Tuesday night, we had a prayer meeting with Nopi. And the team, he was joining by Skype, Nopi van Heerden, farmer out at Indwe, I think, Dordrecht. And for those who don't know yet, we had a massive breakthrough in his life. He was accused of stock theft. He was found guilty, sentenced to 10 years in jail. And he's a good Christian. And so we, as a church, we prayed, we fasted. He got an appeal. His brother was accused of the same thing. And his brother was, they had the court case last week. And then it came out, same farmer accuses his brother of the same thing. And then it came out that the police lied, basically. They under oath, confessed to having lied in Nopi's case. Hallelujah. Praise Jesus. Okay, so that is awesome. So God is faithful. He can even move things like that, natural things like court cases. I mean, we were in Argentina in April. There was people with a huge court case of unjust thing happening. Pastor told, we prayed with the family over the next few weeks that it turned. And they also got a breakthrough. God can do anything. I mean, we prayed for Kim on Wednesday night, John Pierre's wife. She's pregnant with a second one. Woohoo! And she's really, really nauseous. And so prayed for on Wednesday night, and then things shifted. Even her taste has changed. that says she's no longer nauseous and she can now eat stuff that she didn't eat before. Is it small? It's huge for them. God can do anything. But everything flows from His presence. And so anyway, on Tuesday night with Nopi, we were praying and he said he's so down. It hasn't rained at Indwe in it seems like months. I don't know. It hasn't rained. It rains here, but it doesn't rain there. And so at the end of the Skype call, he said, come on, let's just take authority of it. Let's pray. So I gave the Lord a whole week. I said, Father, by next week, Tuesday, before we climb on those planes, let it rain in Jesus' name. And the next day, 2 o'clock, he WhatsApped and said, it's raining. Our prayers? I don't know. Goodness of God? Absolutely. I just want to stir your faith. Anything is possible. Instead of just being a victim to your circumstances, whether it be rain or physical things in terms of your pregnancy or finances, why not trust God to shift it? Why not trust God to turn it? Why not step out and pray, Lord, in the name of Jesus, turn this thing in the name of Jesus. But it all flows from the presence. It flows from His presence. How many times we prayed for people for healing and there's nothing happening until we say, God, we welcome Your presence here. And then suddenly things start happening because everything flows from His presence. You need to cultivate a lifestyle of pursuing His presence. 2 Samuel 6:11. It's finishing off. This is now after Uzzah died. And they left the ark there for 3 months because David was afraid. Then it says, the ark of the Lord remained in the house of Obed-Edom, the Gittite, 3 months. And the Lord blessed them and all his household. Let's say it. The Lord blessed him and all his household. Why? Because of the presence of God. The whole house, everybody got blessed. Why? Because God was present. Now it was told King David saying, the Lord has blessed the house of Obed-Edom and all that belongs to him. All that belongs to him was blessed because of the ark of God. The ark of God representing the presence of God. So David went and brought up the ark of God from the house of Obed-Edom to the city of David with gladness. So he heard they're getting blessed. When you have the presence of God upon your life, you will be blessed. Everything you touch will be blessed. Everything. Everything. It's amazing, this quote in the Old Testament, when you touched a leper, you got defiled. In the New Testament, when you touch a leper, they get cleansed. Massive. Everything you touch will be blessed because God is with you. And that's how we do missions. We worship and pray for hours. We get happy. It's joy in His presence. And it's so easy. Jesus said, my yoke is easy, my burden is light. Why? Because when you are in my presence, it becomes easy. Because it's God doing it through you. It's not you doing it. I just want to read this as they brought back. This is so beautiful. One of the most beautiful pictures of bringing the presence of God. 2 Samuel 6:13 to 17. And so it was when those bearing the ark of the Lord had gone 6 paces that He sacrificed oxen and fatted sheep. So now they're bringing it, but differently. The priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant. The priests are carrying with much fear and trembling. Be afraid of dying, I'm sure. The presence of God. And they went 6 paces. And then they sacrificed oxen and sheep. Now it doesn't say if they did that every 6 steps. But if it was every 6 steps, it was about 6 kilometers, they would have stopped 1,000 times. Sacrificed animals would be a trail of blood. Why? Why blood? Because David realized that blood covers sins. So in the Old Testament, their blood was covered when animals were slaughtered, sacrificed to cover their sins. In the New Testament, we have great news. And then it says there, so then David danced before the Lord. You see, with all his might. And David was wearing a linen ephod. So David and all the house of Israel brought up the ark of the Lord with shouting and with the sound of the trumpet. Now as the ark of the Lord came into the city of David, Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window, this is his wife, and saw King David leaping and whirling. Some of you might say that people were leaping and whirling here this morning. And she despised him in her heart. So they brought the ark of the Lord and set it in its place in the midst of the tabernacle that David had erected for it. Then David offered burnt offerings and peace offerings, more blood. You see, David, a king, was all about God's presence. I don't care what people say. I will kneel, I will dance, I will shout, I will clap my hands. I want the presence of God. I want Him present. But you always have people on the sides, like Michal, looking at this. Ah, these people, you know. Happy clappies. They weird. Michal didn't get blessed. She was barren for the rest of her life. David got blessed. He got a lasting legacy because he was all about God's presence. Even looking like a fool, he told Michal, I'll be even more undignified than this, but I want him. And in the end, his presence will vindicate me. And the mockers will stand alone in the corner without the goodness and the blessing of God. So where are you at? I'm at this space. Let's do this. Let's go for more of God. Let's be undignified. Let's come like children. Let's shout. Let's clap hands. Let's create an environment where God can be here and radically change lives. We baptized 69 people this year. Evangelistic flow. It's increasing. God's going to save more and more people. More and more people. It's going to increase. People are going to turn to Christ like never before when they come in contact with His presence. So the last one. Jesus. What was Jesus all about? What was Jesus all about? His lifestyle. His life, everything he did, what was it about? It was about his Father. He wanted to be in his Father's presence. He lived a life of prayer lifestyle. He lived in the presence of the Father. How do I know this? Because we see it at the cross. We see when Jesus hung on the cross and all of mankind's sin was brought upon him. Most holy, sinless human being, God, man, this world has ever seen. He has never been disconnected. The Trinity has never been not with one another. And in that moment, from 12 noon till 3, the earth was dark. As Jesus hung on that cross, all the sin of the world was on him. And then around 3 o'clock, there was an earthquake. And then Jesus said this, Matthew 27:46. And about the 9th hour, 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out with a loud voice saying, Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani. That is, my God, why have you forsaken me? This was Jesus' nightmare moment. This is any man or woman of God's nightmare moment. God, not your presence. Don't take your presence from me. And Jesus, in this very moment, when all of mankind's sin was upon him, God the Father had to turn his back. The holiness of God had to turn away from Jesus as he went through this nightmare. Jesus was forsaken so that you and I can be welcomed into the presence of God. Jesus didn't just die to cover our sin. He died to remove our sin as far as the east is from the west. Gone. Forever. This is good news. Amen. Jesus paid this amazing price so that you and I could be completely washed and cleansed by faith and then drawn near into the very most holy of holies of God. Jesus was rejected. Jesus was forsaken so that you and I can be welcomed back to Daddy God, Father God, in His presence with Him.